Welcome, everybody, to this partnership community engagement forum between KFAI and Juxtaposition Arts. I'm Nancy Sarter. I manage KFAI's Legacy Grant. And with that grant, we're able to produce a series of four community conversations. And tonight is the kickoff. And really happy to be working with Juxtaposition on this. It's an exciting organization, and we're going to hear a lot about what they are doing with youth and working with really young and vibrant creative minds. I would like to introduce Caroline Kent. She's with Juxta. She's a teaching artist here, and she's going to moderate this forum and introduce us to some of the programs that Juxta does with youth, and then the other participants here are going to talk, so enjoy.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Caroline Kent, and I've been with Juxtaposition Arts since 2007. And it has been a real pleasure working with this organization. I am an art instructor. I instruct the VALT class, which stands for Visual Arts Literacy Training. And I also work with public art, which a lot of these faces up here were part of the public art program this past summer. And I'll be introducing them in a moment. But to give you a little background on Juxtaposition Arts, if it's new to you, Juxta was founded in 1995 by Roger and Deanna Cummings and another member, Peyton Russell. The three of them, they had a strong desire and interest to kind of bring art and the community together. And since then, it's really blossomed into a substantial art education program that leads to youth employment, and it uses a unique apprentice model. So you have students working alongside professional artists in many of the programs. I'll also say that since 2004, Juxta has impacted the revitalization of West Broadway Avenue, so this area in particular, by rehabbing art spaces for arts and culture. So you'll notice that our campus is beginning to expand, and a lot of the renovation that you see happening along here, Juxta has had a place in that as an organization. I'd like to introduce the panel to you. We can start with the public arts programs. You each can introduce yourselves, say your name, how long you've been with Juxta. You can say how old you are, too.
Okay. I'm Jalea. I'm 17, and I'm in the public arts program, and I've been here for a little bit over a year. Right now, we're working on individual projects.
Hi, I'm Cameron. I'm 15. I go to Blake, and I'm also in the public arts program. I've been with Juxta for about 3 years now.
Hi, I'm Tiana. I'm 21, and this is my second year with Juxta. And I'm currently in the environmental design area.
I'm Namir Fierce, and I am 15 years old, and I attend Hopkins High. I've been here for 3 years, and I'm in the contemporary arts and public arts programs.
Wonderful. We have a few more guests with us.
So my name is Samuel Phillips. I am teaching the environmental design program here at Juxta, and I've been a part of Juxta since 2007.
I'm Kenna Kamara Cotman, and I am a dance educator and a Black American griot, and I have had the pleasure of being a member of the 1108 Artist Co-op for 1 year.
I'm Sheila Regan, and I'm an arts writer. I write for TC Daily, Planet, and City Pages, and I've done some writing about public art, and I've interviewed Carolyn before, so thank you.
Well, welcome, everyone.
I'm going to jump in here for a minute because Kenna has a performance to get to. So we're going to kind of start, I think, with you. And one of the things that I find so interesting, in addition to your cool work as a choreographer, is the fact that you come from such an artistic family. You are multi-generationally creative. Your parents are artists. Your children are artists. And so I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that experience and why that's important to have youth involved and to pass it on.
The experience of growing up in an artistic family, and I want to give a shout out to my mother, Beverly Cotman, who is in the audience, as well as my father, Bill Cotman, and my son, Ibrahim Sarge, and my daughter, Yancy Jameson, who's off doing some art, engaging in art as well. So the experience of being in a artistic family has been great. It's been very affirming. It's been showing me a path to becoming my own artist, as seeing my parents create art and do it at the same time as holding down a quote unquote regular job, I grew up knowing and understanding that everybody just creates art in addition to whatever else you're doing. And when I wanted to make the transition to being a full-time artist and give up the regular job, my family was extremely supportive and they continue to support me. And latest and greatest thing that we do now is that me and my mom and dad are the Ways Ensemble, and we create interdisciplinary multimedia performance pieces that illustrate our relationship and also how we respond to various things in our world. So currently we're working on a performance called Choosing Your Weapons, and it's in response to the Minneapolis One Read book, which is Gordon Parks' A Choice of Weapons. And so we've created another Ways creation, and we are going to be performing it at community libraries over the next few weekends. So it's just a blessing to be able to create art, be supported in my art, and see my children carrying on the legacy as a part of this artistic family.
Can you talk a little bit about your experience with Juxta and what that's been like here?
You know, there was a dream meeting that Deanna Cummings and Leah Nelson and I had about this space that we're in right now. And the dream has been realized, and I finally have my own studio space, which is upstairs, Studio Mbili. And I have also looked to what Roger and Deanna have created as a model for what I want to do with youth, the way that they have devised this idea of training up youth, giving them skills to be able to make their living, to be entrepreneurs, to have a creative life that feeds and sustains them, is a model that I look at basically copying, but applying it to the dance work that I do. And I have a company called Voice of Culture Drum and Dance, and it's a company that has members age 5 to age 39. And my goal is for them to understand that they are working artists. I'm proud of my company members, because at this time now, there's people that I've been working with since they were very young, and they are now being hired to accompany dance classes and perform, and they are sought after musicians and cultural artists and teaching artists in this community. And it just makes me feel proud that I was able to just have a small part in their development. And I really do take a lot of lessons from what happens here at Juxta in terms of the youth training and development.
And maybe we can talk a little bit about how Juxta evolved, because it didn't used to be multiple buildings and big studio spaces. So does somebody want to talk a little bit about the history?
Sure. I can talk a little about the history. Like I mentioned before, there's a strong push for youth education in the arts. And so Juxta is now comprised of social enterprises. And so we have four distinct areas. We have graphic design, textile design, environmental design, and contemporary art, which in the summer is public art. And so in those four areas, students typically start off through the Vault program, which is a foundational intensive drawing and painting program. It lasts between 8 and 10 weeks. We take youth from age 8 to 21, and it's after school. And so young minds explore the foundations of drawing and painting, and then some of them can continue and repeat it and take it multiple times. Others can use it as a pathway to one of the social enterprises where they can apply for an apprentice position, which is a paid position for youth. And so they can apply to get into, or interview to get into, one of the areas. And so the young people that you see up here this evening all wanted to participate and applied and interviewed to get into public art. And so they're going to be talking a little bit about that program. That should give you a rough idea of how we're structured here. And our campus is separated into different spaces. So there is a graphics lab, a textile lab where all the printing on textiles happens. There is an environmental design lab. And there is artist studio spaces for the contemporary arts lab as well. Contemporary arts is where young people can learn how to have a studio practice as an artist. So it's pretty cool. Just to say a little bit, preface about the public arts, this past summer, we created a program. Myself and another instructor, Nate Young, we led a group of apprentices through this. It was a new project. You know, prior to this, Juxta Position has often done murals as their public outreach and their public engagement piece. And so we thought to build on that, we wanted to do something that further pushed the idea of engaging with the public. So we came up with paintings and rickshaws. And so I'm gonna let one of the apprentices here just describe what the project was. And what did we do? How did it start? Do you remember the first days of it?
I personally remember being thoroughly confused by what Nate was trying to say on the first day. But it was definitely a process. For the last summer, we started off with brainstorming ideas, and we really wanted to reach out to the community because I think that Juxta is very much a part of the community, and without being on West Broadway, I probably wouldn't have found it. So I thought that was really important to that, so we did a lot of brainstorming.
And we brainstormed pieces that would not only be something that could be put up in a gallery, but also interact with the community on another level, because in daily life, it's hard to just sit back and think about things. You think about things, but you may not go into a deeper perspective of that thing. And so it's good to put these signs up because it helps them create that flow of thought that is important in daily life.
So maybe could you speak to maybe Namir and say, like, what exactly are the paintings and rickshaws? To someone that is hearing this, thinking, what are they talking about?
Okay, so paintings and rickshaws. Well, one of my instructors, Nate, he had an idea for rickshaws. We developed this idea of sign paintings where we put these different phrases, loosely ended sentences, and just these statements on these paintings, and we painted them. Some have stars in the background, but these were things that we thought could speak to the community, could engage the community, where they could interact with it, and it can mean something to them, potentially, a deeper way. So we made these paintings, and where the rickshaw comes in is the rickshaws mobilize these paintings throughout the community as we take them throughout the community, and we would just set them down and display them in public spaces, whether it was in front of the Hooks restaurant or the Shiloh Temple Church, all up and down West Broadway.
So what was the reaction when you're rickshawing around the city? And were you primarily in North Minneapolis here in the general vicinity, or were you going out further?
We were mainly on North Minneapolis area, going up and down on Broadway. A lot of people just kind of just stared at us like we were crazy, or would look at it really confused and just kept going by. Not a lot of people thought or stopped and asked about it.
But did some people talk to you about it?
From when we had them in galleries, I've noticed people came up to me and asked questions about it, or was like, I don't understand this. What is this supposed to mean? And I'm like, what do you think it means? It's whatever you think it means.
I'd like to ask Sam a question, because Sam, you're an environmental artist and you do public art. What's the difference between having these paintings in a gallery where people can come and observe versus taking them out and moving them through the community? Why do that?
If you're at a gallery, you have a certain amount of free time to take in art and consume that and be a part of that conversation. But if we come and engage you while you're at the bus stop waiting for the bus or outside sitting on a stoop with your friends, then in a lot of ways we've taken the art to you. So the work of public art is to take the art to people and make it more accessible and just more digestible. And I think it's creating a conversation around art. It's creating a conversation about the community. And I think it's just it's important to realize that art shouldn't just exist in certain institutions. Art should exist in many different spaces.
It kind of speaks to what Kenna was saying, too, about incorporating art into the family dynamic and incorporating art into the community, and that art isn't a separate thing. It's part of all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, I'd like to hear from the panel just on the idea that so taking these paintings and rickshaws into the community was a way for us to engage the community. But what did it do for you guys? How did it change the way you understand art and how art should function in your community? I mean, had you not been part of this project, you would have been somebody walking along the street and you would have seen these in a vacant lot or right next to Cub Foods. So how did it impact you?
Well, for me, it made me realize that whatever your hobby is, that's your art. You can't just write that off. You see something, I feel like you should take the opportunity to process this and learn something new about the object that you're looking at.
I feel like in the Black community, or in the Northside community in particular, we don't recognize art for what it really is, or we don't know exactly what art is. And really, so many things that happen inside of our community is really art. I mean, we have so many practices, so many rituals that are just artistic in themselves and complex. We don't usually reflect on that. So to have something that is thought of as like contemporary or thought to be in a gallery space and have it brought out on the street was a bit strange because we don't usually interact in that way, or those opportunities aren't usually brought to this community. But for us to publicly show these to the community and to make art like a very known presence, it's like, it's here. Art is definitely in the north side of Minneapolis. It's just letting know the presence of art in the north side of Minneapolis.
And that it could be a mural. It could be a rickshaw with a painting being carried down the street. It could be a lot of things. And I think that's what kind of what you're speaking to.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think another thing that's interesting about what the youth have done is the conversation aspect, which shouldn't be forgotten. Whenever they do get a chance to talk to somebody, that interaction itself is a piece of the art. And continuing the conversation about what art can be inside of a community. And I feel like a lot of times people don't necessarily feel that they have the time to go consume art, or I didn't go to art school, or that may not be for me. But people secretly still appreciate art, and it's a little different than just having a mural on the wall. Having it go right by them puts it in their face.
Mm-hmm. I had a question for Sheila. Back to the question about what is the greatest difference between art that appears in a gallery or art that appears right in the midst of your everyday life. Is that something you could speak to? Because you cover a lot of art writing and different things that happen in the city. What do you notice?
I write about art that's in galleries and museums, and I also write about art in alternative spaces. I saw Kenna dance with her group in the basement of a Mexican grocery store this summer. It was pretty amazing. I think that it can be a very different experience for a person that's watching the art. When you're going into a gallery or a museum, there's kind of certain rules about the way that you interact with the art. Whereas when it's in a place outside of one of those more traditional places, there are less rules about how you experience it. I think, you know, what others have said about the accessibility piece, I mean, the fact is we have these institutions that get a lot of public funding and also private funding, but they aren't always reaching the people. They aren't reaching everybody. They aren't reaching all communities. And so it's two questions of, one, how do other alternative institutions like Juxta and others get more of those resources to reach these other communities? And how can those bigger institutions reach out to a broader, more diverse audience? Back to your question, I do think it is a different experience. You know, I think both are valid experiences. There's something to be said for going and seeing an art show, and it's very planned out, and there's wine and, you know, crackers. That has its time and place too. Actually, is it okay if I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, in Juxta, do you do a lot of outreach with social networking? I was just talking to Beverly about social networking. In terms of letting people know about what the artists are doing upstairs, I mean, is that a big part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak to the fact that we document a lot of things and we're constantly posting. Social media is a big way we reach our audiences, whether it's during the class, during events. We're always kind of updating people on what's going on behind these walls and what they're creating, because I think we do have people out there that are very curious about what they're doing. So you'll find on our Facebook page that it's well-stocked with a variety of events that we get involved in.
And to kind of piggyback off that, it's not even so much just the social media, because people, once they show up, have to be engaged. So it's like, really, once people come in, they're always surprised that whenever we have events like this today, or I always meet somebody who they're coming to Juxta for the first time, and they're so surprised because they're like, wow, this is amazing. There's this place over on the north side with all these artists coming together and cool events that are happening. And so I think we're constantly winning people over. And so things like the Northside Arts Crawl are important because we're showcasing local talent here in the community. We're providing a space for people to come and see just what we're up to. And I think that's really important. So not just the social media aspect, but also just the on-the-ground presence, mm-hmm. the activating the storefronts. There's a lot of vacant storefronts along West Broadway. Mm-hmm. So the fact that our lights are on, the door is open, we're inviting people to come in and see what we're doing. I think that's really important.
I'm curious to ask the youth about
we talked a little bit about social media, and this is something that you can speak to too as a journalist and covering arts. It's not, you know, you work for an online news source, so you're very modern. And I'm interested to know from the youth, because there's fewer and fewer art programs in the schools, and so you're getting your art here, and how is that different, and what are your peers, are they curious about it when you're sharing things on Facebook and tweeting about it? Are you able to engage people that might not normally even care so much about it? Have you noticed their interest grow?
Who tweets?
I tweet. I love Twitter. A little bit of a Twitter holic. Well, I let everyone on Twitter know every artistic venture I'm having, just because I want people to know that art is such a huge part of my life and that I'm just so artistic and just dope and fresh. I just want everybody to know. And yeah, people do get posted and they do get interested. I see that it is becoming the cool thing of our generation to be artistic and versatile. Versatility is cool now.
I'd like to ask a question. I want to bring it back to just the public arts program for a minute. I'd love to hear from each one of you talk a little bit about expectation. So we created these projects. We were behind the scenes working on these as a group for about 6 weeks before we took them out. And we didn't really have this really big prep about, all right, what are our expectations as we take these out into the community? We didn't talk a lot about that. So I'm curious, what were you thinking before we took these out? And if those expectations matched what actually happened, was it positive, negative, disappointment, great, great joy? What was it? And what were you thinking?
Well, I definitely expected to engage the community. And I felt like as we went out there, we definitely engaged the community in like a different way than I expected. Maybe not necessarily too many people came up other than asking, what are you doing? Having them out there, I think we engaged the community's minds. And very much like Sam said earlier, we started a conversation, or we were a catalyst for art on the North Side, which I thought was very important. And that exceeded my expectations.
Well, I was just so excited that we were going to be able to bring this piece out. And it's different. It's really different. This is my first time being at Juxta. Well, I've been here for a little bit over a year, like I said before. And I've never really seen art like this before Juxta, and I was excited to be a part of it and to be a part of this thinking process. And the fact that even if we didn't contact a lot of people, we still spoke to a good amount of people where they can share this information, share with and pass on their knowledge to someone else. And I think that's cool.
What I was looking for most importantly was, as an artist, I wanted there to be a sense of trust, and I wanted us to go public. I was excited about going public because I feel like that's what art is supposed to do. It's supposed to be in places where it's not supposed to be, in quotations. I just really wanted it to get out, because we're in the North Side of Minneapolis, but how many times is our art out? I remember specifically thinking, like, I don't want to intrude these people's space or just come off as an intruder. Like, a lot of times in the North Side community, or in a lot of Black communities, there's not a trust between artists and the community a lot of times, because they can be exploited in these ways. So I wanted there to be a trust of the space, that we weren't intruders, that in fact, this is what we called home as well. I was more than happy, even if somebody stepped off the bus and didn't even look at us and didn't even pay us any mind, just jamming, or if they felt comfortable enough to do so, is really, I think, is powerful, that we weren't intruders, that we were seen as them, and that some people would stop by and look. And I've gotten smiles, I've gotten keep on going, this is positive, you know? So just that affirming of like what we're doing as artists and our trust is important to me. And I think that brought me the most joy, is that we were trusted in this space, in our community.
Could I ask a question really quick? How did you build that trust? And how does public art become a conversation rather than one group just plopping down art in another, you know, in front of somebody else?
I think Juxta has a lot of respect, just because it's no just intruding, or we're going to knock down a house and we're just going to come in because we got this grant. Juxta has been here for a very long time, and we've done things to build up the community and to breathe new life into it. So it hasn't just been a take, or we're just coming in and we're benefiting. This has been a labor. You know, this has been us building. So I feel like the people on the North Side, our people, have seen us continue to build, continue to expand, and they feel comfortable within this space, and they feel comfortable with us knowing what we do and that we're not trying to take anything. And I feel like just even us as the public arts, us going out and hacking weeds and picking up trash to show that our presence was that we were trying to clean up, we were adding something so that we could be trusted. We just didn't go out there with rickshaws and paintings like, look at these, you know?
You were hacking leaves while you were doing the rickshaw? Or
no, I mean, we were cleaning, but we were constantly like cleaning up, plucking out the weeds off the sidewalk and just that type of preparation thing. So I think that's how you build a trust more than anything, is showing that you're adding something and that you don't just want to take.
It's also showing respect for the environment and the community and connecting with it and having that interaction. It's not, like you say, the artists and everybody else. You know, they're the same.
Thank you.
Awesome. I want to thank this amazing panel. Absolutely amazing. Again, Sheila Regan from the Twin Cities Daily Planet. You can find her at tcdailyplanet.org. Tiana Williamson, Namir Fierce, Cameron Downey, and Jalea Holloman, and of course, Sam Errol Phillips, and the lovely Carolyn Kent. Thank you so much, everybody, for your time. KFAI Juxtaposition. Thanks, everybody, for coming out on a Friday night, and stick around.
Funding for Miniculture on KFAI comes from listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.